At the beginning of this new year, we're going to begin a series with a simple title of why. When we go through things in life that we don't understand, one of the first questions that we ask is, why, God? Now, we often ask that in the context of physical suffering. We don't understand why someone is sick. We don't understand why someone is in an accident. We don't understand why someone needs surgery. But the question of why goes beyond physical suffering. It certainly includes physical suffering, but it goes beyond that. We ask why in a whole variety of settings and a different context because of things we don't understand. Why did I lose my job? Why can't I find a job? Why are my children giving me so many problems? Why did my relationship with that person fall apart? Why did my life go this way instead of going this way? Why can't I figure life out? There are all kinds of situations in life when we ask the question, why, God? So I don't want to limit our discussion in this series to just physical suffering, although it certainly includes that. The question goes much broader than that. So I'm going to use this phrase. I'm going to use the phrase hard to understand. Things in life that are hard to understand. How many of you have gone through a time in life that's just hard to understand? Does anybody want to join me? Yeah, we all go through those. We don't know why God does what he does. So we're going to explore together the hard-to-understand times of life and see what we can learn that will help us the next time we face a hard-to-understand time, or perhaps you're going through one right now. Now, when we ask the question why, I think there are three important parts to that question. The first is, why me? Why is this happening to me and not to someone else? The second part is, why now? Why is this happening at this time in my life? And then the third part is, why this? Why is this specific thing happening to me? So we're going to look at those three questions. Today we're going to start with, why me? Next Sunday we'll look at, why now? And then we're going to spend three Sundays on the question, why this? And that's when we're getting to some specific reasons that God, use whatever word you want, allows, that God brings hard-to-understand times into our lives. Now, there's going to be some overlap in these sermons. When we look at the questions, why me and why now, we'll touch on some things that will come out in that third part, why this. So, if you hear something more than once, that's okay. We usually have to hear something several times before it sinks in. And so, if you hear something several times, that's going to be a good thing. Let me give you this morning five answers to the question, why me? When we go through hard-to-understand times and you ask the question, why me, one of these answers might apply to you. One might apply to someone else. One of these answers might apply this time, where another answer might apply to you at another time. These are not all the answers to the question, why me, but I think there are five that we can understand and five that will help us. And so, as I give you these, I hope that you'll write them down on the outline you received, and I hope one of them will apply to you. So, answer number one to the question, why me, is because God loves you. Now, that might sound strange to you, especially if you are in the middle right now of one of those hard-to-understand times in life. You're going through a time that you don't understand why it's happening. You're going through a time that's confusing to you, and you're wondering, why me? You might even have asked God, God, why me? I was encouraged this morning when I met with Larry and Kathy. And I talked about this. And they both looked at me, and they said, the better question is, why not me? Right in the heart. Why not me? But when we look at the question and we ask ourselves, why me? One reason is because God loves you. And that just doesn't make sense, does it? If God loved me so much, wouldn't He do away with all of my confusion? Wouldn't He do away with all those things that perplex me, that I don't understand? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12? And if you didn't bring a Bible today, would you take one of those red Bibles out of the pew in front of you, and would you turn to page 810 in that Bible? It's too long of a passage for us to put up on the screen, but I want us to read the first seven verses together of Hebrews chapter 12. A familiar passage. Several years ago, I preached on this passage. We had several sermons on it, but, you know, I keep coming back to this one over and over again. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about those Christians who have died before us, those in the Old Testament that he listed back in chapter 11, people you know who were fine Christians, your grandparents, maybe your parents, who have gone on ahead of us. He said, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from strangers against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? There are times in our lives when God brings things into our lives simply because we are His children and He loves us. Now, this is especially true when sin is involved, and this passage is definitely in the context of sin, talking about sin. It references the fact that God chastens us and we're rebuked by Him. The idea is we've done something wrong. But it's important to understand that not all hard-to-understand times in life are because of sin. Some are, some are not. Here's the point that I want you to see from this passage. There is so much in this, so much good stuff in this passage, but we're just going to pick out this one thing. If God brings hard times into our lives because of sin, to discipline us because of sin, and the discipline is because of His love, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. If the discipline is because of His love, that's what the passage says, He loves us so much that He's not going to let sin destroy our lives, very much like an earthly father, then isn't it reasonable that His love for us is what motivates Him in those hard-to-understand times of life that don't involve sin? We all go through hard-to-understand times in life, not because we've sinned. Sometimes, yes, but not always. And if He loved us enough to do something about when we sin, certainly He loves us enough to do something so that we change, so that, and we're going to see this in a moment, there are reasons He does these things. What motivates Him to work in our lives, sometimes to bring hard-to-understand things in our lives, is because He loves us. You know, an earthly father will, use the discomfort of hard physical labor to teach his son the value of hard work. Mary and I were talking about millennials on the way into church this morning. If you don't know what a millennial is, they are the young people who were born approximately, there's a little bit of a variation, but approximately 1995 through 2017 or something like that. 1977, yeah. But they're all, you know, in their early 20s, and then sometimes they're referred to as snowflakes, you know, and sometimes they're, you know, they can't take, you know, hard things, and they just want life to be easy. And you know, not all of them, but that's sort of the characteristic of the generation. And you wonder why. And I said to Mary, this dawned on me. I said, do you realize that every generation seems to get a little bit softer? And do you realize that over the years, kids who were born on farms are fewer and fewer? You know, kids who are born on farms learn how to work. But we have fewer and fewer of those who are influencing the rest of their generation. And they're becoming softer and softer. So my illustration here about a father teaching a son hard work may not work totally, but you'll understand it. A father tries to teach their son the value of hard work, not because he hates his son, but because he loves his son. Not because the son has done anything wrong, but because he wants his son to grow up to be a responsible, hard-working adult. Now, the son, I can almost guarantee you, is not going to enjoy the hard work. He might complain about it. He might not see the value in it until later when he grows up. But the father loves the son, and he's going to make that son work hard because he knows that that will help him to become a responsible adult, to grow up, to mature. God uses hard to understand times in our lives to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity. God doesn't want you to be a spiritual snowflake. And he does it because he loves us. Hard to understand times in life, folks, may simply be an indication of God's love. And when you go through that hard to understand time and you ask the question, why me? That might be the answer. Well, there might be another answer when you ask the question, why me? And that's because God wants to change you. That's what we've just been talking about. The father who brings hard times into the life of his child because he wants to change that child from being a child to being a responsible adult. A coach brings hard labor into the life of an athlete because he wants to change the person from being just an okay athlete to being a really good athlete. A teacher challenges the student with hard work because they want to change the student. They want the student to go from one academic level to a higher academic level. This happens all of the time in life. And it happens with God. God's goal for you is that you will become more and more like Jesus. That you will mature spiritually. And that involves change. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but we all, with unveiled face, he'd been talking about Moses who put the veil over his face before he went in the tabernacle where God was. He says, we with unveiled face, we have to cover our face before God, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, we are in the process of being transformed. By the way, that word transformed is in the passive voice, which means that someone else is doing the action. That someone else is God. God is constantly working in your life to change you into the image of Jesus. And sometimes he uses hard to understand times to do it. You see, here's what I know about God. God is not satisfied to leave you the way you are. He wants better for you. He wants you to look more and more like Jesus. And that means he's going to transform you. And that transformation might involve hard to understand things. So when you go through hard to understand times in life, this might be the answer. God wants to change you. He doesn't want you to be like you were last year. He wants you to be better than last year, spiritually speaking. He doesn't want you to stay spiritually immature. He wants you to become spiritually mature. And some of us are just hard-headed. And we need hard times to change us. Well, another possible answer when you ask the question, God, why me, is because God wants to adjust your perspective. Perspective is how we view life. There are basically two general perspectives in life. The first is, I am in control of my life. Life is about me. The second is, God is in control of my life. Life is about him. Now, before you became a Christian, your perspective on life was pretty much centered on you. You might have been a sympathetic person. You might have been a nice person. But basically, life was about me. How can I get rich? How can I become famous? How can I have a more comfortable life? How can I do what brings me pleasure? How can I? You had a self-centered perspective on life. You were concerned with how things impacted your life, how your life was going. When you came to Christ, that perspective began to change. God is transforming you. Your perspective began to change, but it didn't disappear overnight. We still battle self-centeredness. But we saw from 2 Corinthians 3:18 that God is changing us. You see, he wants to adjust your perspective on life. He wants to change your perspective on life. And so the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 to set our mind on things above. It's talking about things of God. Not just heaven, what heaven's going to be like, but things that come from heaven. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It's talking about perspective. God might be putting you through something right now that you don't understand so that your perspective changes from looking at yourself to looking at him. So when you go through one of those hard-to-understand times, this might be why. God just knows that your perspective is wrong. He knows that your perspective might not be totally over here, but it might not be totally over here where he wants it either. It sort of goes, you know, back and forth, back over here, and he wants to move you over here. And he knows that to get your attention, he's got to put you through one of those hard-to-understand times. Well, there might be another reason that you go through hard-to-understand times, and that is because God wants to pull you close. You fathers know that when your children were young and they hurt themselves, all that you wanted to do was take them into your arms and pull them close and take the pain away. You just wanted to hold them and comfort them and protect them. And even as your children have gotten older and they go through difficult times, that doesn't change. You still want to do that. You still have that desire to pull them close. Mothers have the same desire. You just want to say to that child, don't be afraid. I'm here for you. God has that same desire as our Heavenly Father. God has that same desire as our Heavenly Father that earthly fathers have. There are several passages in Scripture that illustrate this. Let me just give you a couple. In Isaiah chapter 41, God was talking to the nation of Israel that wasn't really living for Him. And He said, I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, don't fear, I will help you. He just wants to take their hand as a father and say, come on, you don't have to fear. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. When Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem not long before His death, He said, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. All that Jesus wanted to do was to pull His people close to Him. You see, God does not derive pleasure from your hardships. But He knows that sometimes the only way that you will let Him pull you close is to go through something difficult, to go through something you don't understand. You have to admit that when you go through one of those hard-to-understand times in life, that's when you run to God. That's when you want God to do something. Now, our idea of God doing something is for God to solve our problem, is for God to make everything clear to us, for God to explain it to us. But God's idea of doing something might simply be that you would spend more time with Him. And in spending more time with Him, you would become closer. When you go through one of those hard-to-understand times in life, it might simply be God's way of saying, let's get together. Let's spend more time together. Let's get closer. Let's have some fellowship. Well, another possible reason is that because God wants you to learn to trust Him. Have you found out by now in your life that trust is not an easy thing? In fact, it's a hard thing. But you will never learn to trust God until you are tested. Do you remember the game that we used to play as kids called Trust Fall? Where one person would stand up, and I was actually going to ask one of you to come up here this morning, and I was going to catch you, but then I decided I better not. It might go bad. So here we have a group of, looks like Boy Scouts, and this isn't just standing up and falling back in somebody's arms. This guy's up on a platform, and he's going to fall back into the arms of his comrades there. They call it the trust fall. A lot of corporations have these building seminars they go to, and one of the things they build is trust in each other. And so they'll do something like the trust fall. And the idea is that one person is to fall back without looking, without knowing who's back there. Maybe even people are back there that they don't even know personally. And the other people are supposed to catch them. And you're supposed to trust them to catch you. But you know what's true? You don't really know if you trust them until you fall. You don't know if you trust them until you're tested. God wants us to trust Him. A very familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all that you have. Don't depend upon your own understanding to explain life. In all of your ways, every single one of them, acknowledge Him, that He's a God of grace and a God of love and a God of mercy, and He will direct you. Kathy asked me if I would read this card to the church family. Dear church family, Larry and I would like to thank you for your prayers and kindnesses to us. After two surgeries, we now await the next steps of treatment. God has answered many of our prayers, and we cling to His promises. We ask for His guidance through these next stages of treatment. We know that you will continue to keep us in your prayers. May we all bring glory to God in our daily walk with Him. Love, Larry and Kathy. And then she references Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Because that's all they have. That's all they can do is trust God. And sometimes God brings us to the difficult times where all we can do is trust Him. You can say that you trust God with your life, but you don't really know if you trust God or not until you go through one of those hard-to-understand times. You see, you won't ever actually learn how to drive a car until you drive a car. You won't learn to trust God without actually being in a situation where you have to trust Him. And the more times that we are put into situations where we have to trust God, where we are forced to trust God, the more we will learn to trust God. God simply wants you to trust Him. He wants you to come to those hard-to-understand times, those hard-to-explain times in life, and say, okay, God, I know you've got this. I don't understand, God. I'm afraid, God. I don't see the way forward, God. But I am going to trust you. I'm going to trust your wisdom. I'm going to trust your judgment. I'm going to trust your plan. I know you love me. And I know you are doing what is best for my life, and I trust you. It's not easy to stand up on a platform with your back to people you might not even know and fall backwards into their arms. And it's not always easy to trust God. This is not an easy thing. I'm not telling you, I'm not suggesting that trusting God is an easy thing. I'm telling you flat out, it is hard. You might find it hard to trust those people you don't know, but sometimes we struggle with trusting God that we do know. Even though we can't see Him with our physical eyes, we know by faith that He is there. We know by faith that He loves us. We know by faith that He has great wisdom and He's guiding our lives, and we still struggle with trusting Him. Why? Why are there hard-to-understand times in life? Why me? Well, here are five possible answers to that question. Because God loves you. Because God wants to change you. Because God wants to adjust your perspective. Because God wants to pull you close. Because God wants you to learn to trust Him. I hope that this will help you this morning. If you're going through a difficult time right now, that it will help you. If you go through a difficult time sometime in the future, that it will help you navigate through those hard-to-understand times. Listen, you may never in this life get clarity. You may never in this life get an answer. You read the book of Job. We don't see that Job ever got an answer from God other than this: I am God. That was his answer. And you might not get an answer in this life. But God wants you to navigate through life with some understanding and some perspective. And so take these five things with you today and tuck them away somewhere. And the next time you're going through something you don't understand, the next time you need clarity and God just doesn't seem to be answering your question, pull it out and read through these and begin to pray over them and say, God, is this what you're trying to do in my life? And ask God to change you. Father,